Wednesday, June 26th, was remarkable for three reasons, at least to me. I made my last planned trip and speech, certainly last for a long, long time. I saw a part of America that I knew the least of all, Oregon, the far northwest. And third, Lyndon named Abe Fortas for Chief Justice and Homer Thornberry for Associate Justice. I had breakfast and read over my speech in the comfortable little room at the Sheraton Motor Inn, and then drove with Orville to the Civic Center where the American Institute of Architects was having its annual convention. It was a fresh, clear, beautiful day, and everywhere you looked you saw roses, roses, roses. Portland lived up to its billing as the city of roses, so abundant and multicolored. The Durhams, he's outgoing president of the AIA, met me and escorted me to the stage. Familiar sight, an audience that must have been several thousand, TV and press on a platform on the left, a standing ovation. You'd have to be dead not to get a lift of the spirit. Orville introduced me, and I delivered the B.Y. Morrison lecture on nature and architecture. I've hardly ever worked as hard on a speech, and it was the longest one I think I've ever delivered. I spoke of the new conservation, which means first a concern for the total environment, attention to the human scale, and a new emphasis upon areas of natural beauty. Kept a due regard for the TV cameras on my left, spoke of some of the places made for delight and intimacy that I enjoyed most. Ghirardelli Square, San Antonio and its little river winding through the center of town. Georgetown, so attractively restored, showing how the past can serve the present. Had a few sentences I particularly liked when I spoke of enormous housing developments that were so dull and all alike that there's no there there. And likened some shopping centers to a sort of urban strip mine, and ended on a call to city planners and architects to work on the problems of unsightly shopping centers and on the ugly, ragged city fringes. I did get a very nice applause, another standing ovation at the end, and later in the receiving line, more compliments than nearly any speech, so I was relatively satisfied with myself. The chief satisfaction being that this is the last time I'll be making a speech for a long time, and all the while, duly aware and scared, because the speakers in the days just before me had been Barbara Ward and one of the most able and articulate Negroes I know on urban affairs. After me, there came a panel discussion on nature, leading off with Orville Freeman, and then a Professor Gordon Woolman, and then, how deflating, just as all of the TV cameras walked out and most of the press left, the third and best member, better than any office in fact, Marvin Durning, ardent conservationist and highly articulate attorney, who it turned out was running for the Attorney General in Oregon. Next, Orville announced that an azalea, pure white and very lovely, was being named for me, the Mrs. LBJ. Another one of those times when I wish I hadn't acquired a nickname but had just been Claudia all my life. And then the presentation of a nature notebook prepared at the National Arboretum by district school children. Finally, I presented an award from the AIA to Arthur Odell, who'd been chairman of the Potomac River Planning Task Force. And then it was all over, and I filed out of the big auditorium with a sense of relief and the pleasure of a job well done. And back at the Portland Sheraton a little later, there was a reception in which I stood in line with Mr. and Mrs. Durham and met the board of directors and a great many members of the AIA, at least a dozen of whom asked about Max Brooks, and to my amazement, hardly any that I already knew. They showed me the plans for Mobile Playground, which had been designed in my honor. I'm a little unclear whether one is going to be fabricated and presented, or whether just the plan, and then they can be ordered by public service clubs or by private philanthropists for low-income inner-city areas. At any rate, they were very innovative and exciting-looking and could be produced in just a month or two time. Not surprisingly, they were the work of some of the youngest of the architects present attacking urban problems in this brand-new method. Nearly 1 o'clock, we made our goodbyes, and Orville and I left with Mr. Dwyer and one of the Park Service men and drove across the beautiful Oregon countryside toward Timberline Lodge. It was nearly 2 o'clock when we stopped for lunch at Tollgate State Park. Everybody ravenous. The first sight that met our eyes was two huge salmon, slit open, spread out, and broiling over a fire, the most delicious smell. I could hardly notice the beautiful setting for looking at those fish, setting a very rustic park, an old one, I think. Shelters, cooking areas, tables and benches that looked like they might have been made back in the 30s and fitted very well into the deeply shaded woods, enormous trees towering skyward on all sides of us, ferns stretching like a carpet. We set to immediately on the lunch, a long table spread with slaw and roasting ears and Oregon fruit, a distinctly fruit of the land sort of lunch. That brought back so many pictures to me. A clam bake on the rocky coast of Maine. Fish fry with the surf breaking on Padre Island. Barbecues on the banks of the Pernales. I have really seen America in all its wonderful diversity these last 5 years. The press came briefly and took pictures, and I felt sorry because they weren't eating too, but we all fell to, and the lunch was marvelous. I have never tasted salmon like that before. We topped it off with berry pie, picked from the mountains, and many cups of hot coffee, and then we were on our way again. Ooh. We had come through beautiful farmlands, very green. Berries were one of the principal crops. Delicious strawberries, but too sweet and soft to ship, they said. And blackberries galore, they were trained up on vines like grapes. The roadsides were lined with purple vetch and a tall-stemmed purple flower. And then we had come to the forest, Douglas fir and hemlock, enormous trees that soared skyward 200 feet or more. I asked the forester how old they might be, and he said, from 100 to 300 years, straight, magnificent trunks, hardly any limbs, until way up high. Every now and then we would come over a rise, and there would be Mount Hood, gloriously framed by these giant trees. I asked about fall color. Yes, there were lots of maple, and it was glorious. A zigzag river ran along beside us. It flowed off of a glacier and was icy cold, they said, and there were many little rapid streams that entered it. Soon I noticed moss on the trees. It looked rather like a gray beard, filmy and soft. The forester told me that the deers loved it for food, but it was very bad for forest fires. A fire would just race through it. They pointed out the bear grass, which was a cone-shaped mass of tiny white flowerets, delicate and beautiful, about the size of a grapefruit. The bears liked it, they said. Later, when I got close to one, I discovered it had an awful smell. When we would come into a clearing, there would be a great line of mountains against the sky. Beautiful country. And occasionally, on top of one, a little forest fire lookout. And they told me about the smoke jumpers, brave young college men hired during the summer, usually, who parachuted from small planes in the direction of the smoke whenever a fire had been spotted, their firefighting equipment attached to their backs, and proceeded to put it out. I asked how they got out again. That was their problem. It turned out that Jerry, my agent, Jerry McKinney, had been a smoke jumper when he was in college. They told me another surprising fact, too. The Hudson Bay Company, a romantic fixture in my early childhood reading, and long ago extinct, I had thought, was still in business. It now had department stores in Canada. Mr. Dwyer was a very interesting conversationalist. His father had come out here in 1901, and this country had just been a seaboard, he said, with 4,000 people in Portland. We were gradually rising on a mountain.